Good evening, Wahoo fans. This is Frank Maloney. Tonight, I'm without my good friend Jim Hobgood. My trusty co-host is attending a special fundraiser up in Charlottesville honoring his former teammate, Scott McCandlish. So he's out of town, so I'm home alone. Well, actually, not exactly.
You're in good hands.
In his place, I have recruited another very tall friend, Terry Gates, to help me present another edition of Who's Talking. We bring UV Athletics to you every Wednesday night. We're glad that you've joined us tonight, in spite of the rain. Terry and I will review the football team's tough loss to VPI, the basketball team's recent win over Cleveland State in the Cancun Challenge, and the narrow home loss to Penn State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, as well as all the other UVA sports. Tonight is my pleasure to introduce former UVA forward and defensive stopper, Terry Gates. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Believe it or not, I did a little background research with the help of our good friend Rich Murray up in Charlottesville, and I found out and was reminded that Terry had transferred from Stetson to UVA back in 1977. He played for Coach Holland, as we all well know, from 1978 to 1980.
81.
Sorry, make a correction here. Served as a grad assistant. Was that for more than a year?
1 year.
1 year. That's all they could take. And eventually, he became an analyst for UVA men's basketball broadcast from 1986 through 1994.
And that's all I could take.
Welcome to Who's Talking, Terry. Glad that you could be with us.
Thanks for having me here. And I heard that intro, die hard UVA fan Frank Maloney. You've been called a lot worse than that, haven't you?
More than once, too.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. It's interesting. A lot of crazy things have happened in the last couple of years in sports, but I would have to say the football season that we just went through in Charlottesville is right up there. And the football season ended on Saturday, and the very next day, Al Groh's 9-year tenure came to an abrupt end as UVA relieved him of his duties. The U has started a national search to find his successor. What's your take, just off the cuff real quick?
Well, you put that on top of Dave Ladle's departure last spring. Kind of some tough years for UVA sports, but, you know, Coach Groh been there for 9 years. He's 65 years old. Even if he did turn it around in a couple years, I mean, you've got another issue facing there about, you know, how long is he going to stay. But I think a lot of the interest is be it the economy, be it reseeding Scott Stadium, a lot of things go in there, but certainly the 3-9 record and the success that, you know, is happening down the road a little bit southwest of here, it made it tough. And I think a decision had to be made. Interest was being lost, and it was a good first half, but good first halves don't bring people back into the seats and bring high school kids to Charlottesville. So you got to have a complete game, and it's two games in a row. They played good first half. I give them credit for that. That team didn't quit, and they played hard, but it wasn't good enough.
Terry, in a few minutes, we're going to review the VPI game for a few seconds and then sort of preview the ACC title game, as well as we're going to be bringing on later in this segment none other than Daily Progress sports editor and longtime UVA beat writer, Jerry Ratcliffe. And so stay tuned for that in a few minutes. I notice we've already got a caller. All right, we've got a surprise call already. Let's bring on the co-host, Jim Hobgood. Jim, are you there, buddy?
Frank Maloney and Terry Gates, how are you all tonight?
Good evening.
Glad that you could be with us. Where are you right now?
I'm in the John Paul Jones Arena garage, standing near the rain coming down to make sure I get a signal on the cell phone before we go in for this event tonight. It's an MS charitable event over here at the arena with my buddy Barry Parkhill being the honored guest. So it kind of became a command performance, and as some people may have known, Scott McCandlish, who played with us, had MS and died 4 or 5 years ago of complications from the disease. So it's got a personal touch from the standpoint of Barry and yours truly. So hate to miss the show, but felt compelled to be over here for the event this evening.
Well, Jim, we're glad that you could call in. As you know, tonight we've got Jerry Ratcliffe coming on the air in just a few minutes to talk about the coaching search and all other news in Charlottesville that is being trickled out from just about every single contact in Virginia. Any thoughts on the game and also the search?
Well, needless to say, I was thinking on the way over here, you know, the Hokies beat up on the Hoos, and then the basketball team lost on Monday night to Penn State, so maybe it was a good week to take the week off and let Terry Gates explain all this. But no, I mean, it'll be interesting. Some of the people at this event tonight may have information, so I'll try to weasel some information out of some of the folks here tonight. But I'm afraid the people that really know aren't talking at the moment. But Jerry Ratcliffe, I think he has his finger on the pulse, so it'll be interesting to see what he has to say about the search and his opinion on some of the candidates that are at least rumored to be on the short list. And maybe during the course of the show, you'll have some calls from WHO fans over there in Richmond or who will have opinions about one person or another. But certainly some good names on the list, and it's an important decision for the athletic department. They need to get this right and get the football program moving in the proper direction.
Well, Jimbo, we're gonna do a quick review of the weekend, you know, Saturday's big game, and then we're gonna move quickly to our good friend Jerry. So it's good to hear from you. Please say hi to Barry Parkhill for us.
And I will, and just wanted to say thank you directly to Terry Gates. Really appreciate your pinch hitting tonight, and hope you all have a great show.
Very good.
Thanks.
All right. Talk to everybody next week.
All right, Jim. Have a good evening. Take care, buddy. All right. Right now, I'm going to let Terry tell you all about how you can follow Who's Talking.
Okay. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage you to send questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com or call in at 345-0910, 345-0910. Our shows are archived on thesaber.com. We've also set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan and send your questions to us. We'd appreciate them. Thank you.
And believe it or not, we've got about 8 emails tonight already that I've received concerning the coach's search. And real quickly, let's do this before we go to Jerry Ratcliffe. Let's talk about the game itself. 58,000-plus fans showed up for what was Al Groh's final game in Scott Stadium as the head coach. A few thoughts. First, to the Virginia fans that attended the game.
Thank you.
Yes, you deserve to be thanked for being loyal to UVA Athletics. The players themselves, the coaching staff, and the other Wahoos that attended the game. Second, hats off to the Virginia captains and players for playing their hearts out this season in what had to be a most difficult set of circumstances. Third, I think it's only fair to congratulate the Hokies on winning the game. Fourth, and I'm sure that I speak for all other ACC fans as well as Wahoo fans, it would be much appreciated in the future if the decent Hokies that are out there would take a minute and discourage their fans to jingle car keys during the game to dissuade them from doing that. It is both tacky, it's obnoxious, and disrespectful for everyone sitting around them. And by and large, I think your fans are disliked because of that type of behavior. And I know that it only takes a few bad apples to spoil the whole barrel, but gee whiz, I'm tired of those keys. All right, as for the game itself, I thought UVA did a nice job throughout the first half and the first few series in the second half. They played solid, competitive football with a creative game plan. obviously, the coaches and players worked hard to execute the plays and come up with that game plan, and I thought it was working quite well. Unfortunately, shortly after Chris Cook made that terrific interception in the end zone early in the third quarter, UVA took possession of the ball at the 20, ran a nice play for about 8 yards, and then on the very next play, Mikel Simpson fumbled the option pitch from Jameel Sewell. Virginia Tech returned the ball to the UVA 10-yard line. Two running plays later, it was a touchdown for VPI, and really, they never looked back. To me, that was the key sequence of the game. Virginia, from that point on in the game, failed to convert third downs on offense, and the gutsy and some would call brave defense that had been on the field all year, way too many plays, failed to stop the Tech rushing attack. And in addition, as has been the case all year, the special teams were just dreadful, in my opinion. Punting was shabby. The coverage team struggled, thus giving up valuable field position. Overall, it seemed like the close losses, the key injuries, and the specter of Coach Groh's firing just caught up to the Hoos. As everyone knows, less than 24 hours after the game, Coach Groh and the majority of his staff, including the grad assistants, were fired on Sunday. Some of those folks were told that they had 48 hours to clean out their desks in the McHugh Center, and so ended the Groh era. UVA has launched a nationwide search, according to Athletic Director Craig Littlepage. And let's see here. We've got a caller, Zach. Who's on the line?
Nick is on line one. And
let's bring Nick on.
Hello.
Hey, Nick, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Nick, fire away. What questions have you got for us?
Well, I was just going to say, between Charlie Weiss, Bobby Bowden, Al Groh, and Tiger, this has been hell of a 4 days for talking heads like you. I think it's great. Listen, this Virginia thing is really interesting, and everybody's probably really tired the last 3 or 4 days with all the candidates kicked around and so forth. My feeling is I just really think they need a a high-energy, young 40s type guy, obviously with coordinator experience and so forth. And, you know, I don't know about Peterson from Boise State. You know, he has like 41 or 42 players just from Texas, Arizona, and California alone. So that's – I'm not saying that's a bad thing this day and age, because these guys can work pretty quickly regionally wherever they go. But it's a real tricky business on this head coaching thing, because I think the sum of the parts really lie with the quality of the assistants you get. And I think you can make a parallel with – the parallel I would know about would be between University of Arizona and University of Virginia. Like when Groh had, you know, when he had Mike London as a great recruiter for the program, and Musgrave as offensive coordinator, and Golden as Al Golden as defensive coordinator. I mean, they were definitely rolling those first 2 or 3 years. I mean,
well, where does UVA turn now? Who's your pick? If Virginia was going to walk out today and say, look, we've got $1.4 million, who's Virginia going to hire today in a perfect world? In your opinion?
I don't think we know that person right now, except that I think after all said and done, I think, I mean, I don't want a Tuberville. I don't want a Tenuta, you know, since Notre Dame's been, he's there now, defensive guy. He would have been hired by now. Grove would be a sentimental pick. I like UVA being outside the box this time. I really do, and I think that was great what happened with, you know, the Tony Bennett hire. I think it's going to pay huge dividends for Virginia in a lot of ways.
Yep.
I mean, there's no way Leto would have gotten a California guy like James Johnson, like, you know, that Tony Bennett did. I mean, there's some connections there. And these coaches talk, and their threads, and their web between, and their relationships. But to answer your question, I mean, I think Al Golden and Mike London regionally would be the highest two qualified in Virginia's eyes for obvious reasons. But I think Golden took the Temple job to be close to Joe Paul in Pennsylvania when he resigned to get that job. But that's just – so I don't know who the hire would be. All I know is that when things really get to rocking and rolling, you really just need a top – you know, high-energy coach with high-energy assistants and come out of the blocks really strong, because they got to make up some time here. And my final thing I'd like to ask you, because I know I don't want to take up too much time, is that my personal question to you is, do you think with – Mike London being involved in the FCS championships the next 2 or 3 weeks, would that be a deterrent to UVA because they've got to hit the recruiting trail between now and February 4th?
No doubt. We're gonna jump to our next caller, but thank you for that call, Nick. Absolutely, that will impact things in terms of his situation. I know that we've got Jerry Radcliffe on the line, so what we're going to do is we're going to hold Jerry over to the next segment. We're going to go to commercial right now, and you're listening to Who's Talking. Hang with us. Thank you very much.